You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the early line on Sports Grid on this Monday morning. Talked a lot about the NFL. We've been able to talk about a set World Series, snuck in a little NBA. We got to get to college football as the weekend once again did deliver. The big game of the week was Oregon-UCLA, and the Ducks rolled. Bo Nix at home continues to be a reliable quarterback at the minimum. DTR and UCLA, with their toughest test to date, handled quite convincingly in this game. Scoreline probably not even as close as the 45-30 finish does suggest. Bo Nix with 5 passing touchdowns, and the Ducks moved to 6-1.
Yeah, unbeaten UCLA goes into Autzen Stadium. I said it last week. You know, you're just looking at records alone. Hey, just give me the points here. 6.5 UCLA sounds like a steal. No, it's not here. That is a massive home field advantage. And also at college, the same way, that's actually a little bit different than we look at it at pros, Kevin. You don't go on the road all that much because usually you're playing a lot of cupcakes early at home in your schedule. The one road game that UCLA did have on the road against Colorado, certainly not a test here. This was their first true road test, and they passed it with an absolute, should I say, they failed it with a big-time F. But how about this? Oregon, credit them for being a laughing stock after week one. Ah, the Pac-12 stink, Oregon. You know, Bo Nix, he can't do anything. That's now 6 straight victories, 4-0 in conference play, and maybe an outside contender here, Kevin, to get into the college football playoff.
And that's actually my big takeaway as they win this game. They still have absolutely no chance to make the college football playoff because they're not coming back from losing to Georgia 49-3. I mean, Donnie, just go through the scenarios in your head, right? Mm-hmm. The Big Ten will get a team in. We obviously know that. Let's assume Clemson can hang on. We'll get to them in just a moment. And then you're dealing with a whole bunch of other stuff, right? The Big 12. But the SEC is going to send their champion, whoever that is. But are we really going to see Oregon get in over a second SEC team? If Georgia goes to the SEC title game and loses to Alabama, Oregon has no chance. If Georgia runs the table, Tennessee has a better chance. And if Tennessee goes out and runs the table, then Georgia has a better chance to get in over them. Essentially, I think there's 3 teams that are more likely to make it out of the SEC than Oregon. You can't lose 49-3. You lose the game 28-17, Donnie, it's a different conversation. Yeah. But they do have the perfect schedule set up to make it to that Pac-12 championship game. And trust me, obviously the college football playoff is the end-all be-all, but going and winning a Pac-12 championship is always, always important when it can be done. To talk about Clemson and Syracuse here, we did look like we were going to get absolute chaos in the CFP picture. Clemson was a write-in team for so many, and with good reason. The schedule lined up here, a 14-14.5 point favorite against the Syracuse Orange. Well, this game was 21-7 deep into the third quarter, but Clemson wins the fourth 17-0 and hangs on to keep their unbeaten season alive.
And they did, and certainly hang on for sure. But also, Kevin, you know the interesting part about this timeline? If you didn't see the game 27-21 final, oh, no, DJ Uiagalelei gets benched in this game. So Klubnik certainly came in and lifted him to victory, just like Cooper Rush is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. Yeah, he turned it on. 2 of 4, 19 yards passing. 6 carries, 15 yards. That Clemson defense is something and certainly kept them in that football game overall. But Clemson, 8-0 here. Here they go.
Oh, I know the final numbers. The radio audience is here. Welcome in. It's a Monday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh. That's Donnie Rideside. We're live with you on SiriusXM, channel 159. Yeah, Donnie, I'm sure those final numbers aren't popping out to you. Kid Klubnik came in, changed that game around. I'm telling you that. Yeah, yeah. Your favorite running back in college football, Will Shipley, started to get a little bit loose because all of a sudden eyes are on the athlete that is Cade Klubnik. And it just took a couple of throws here to take advantage of this team. Look, absolutely, this defense needed to step up and force three and outs, and they did. But they are not winning that game if they were able to stick with DJU. The best part is they asked Dabo about the quarterback situation. No doubt about it, our quarterback is DJU moving forward.
Like it.
How's that possible, smart Donnie? Man.
Smart man. He knows the future.
Well, why is that a smart decision?
You got to get the. You can't just give it away after the game because, Kevin, don't you know in college football, what is the greatest thing you can do in the next week? Maybe a quarterback controversy. Maybe you got to prepare for both of these quarterbacks. Even though that doesn't work, he's covering all the angles out here, man.
So here's the good part about it. They're going into a bye week, and then they come out and they go to Notre Dame. So we are now for 2 weeks going to ask who's the quarterback for the Clemson Tigers. The game will start, and it'll probably be Cade Klubnik under center, which could potentially turn things around. Last one here, Texas were booked as the favorites to win the Big 12, priced as the best team in this conference. But unfortunately, they blew a decent lead up against Oklahoma State, up double digits in that third quarter, up by a touchdown going into the fourth. But they ultimately, Donnie, finished this game with three second-half points and go down to the Cowboys 41-34.
19 of 49, Quinn Ewers has finished that game, and now the 5-3 Texas Longhorns have no aspirations here, probably even winning the Big 12, let alone crashing the football playoff. Mm-mm. This was that one outsider which I needed to get close so we could push for expansion immediately. And it looks like the Texas Longhorns are now by the wayside here. Good win by Oklahoma State, too. How about that? Spencer Sanders, 391. Whoo, getting after it.
Yeah, Ewers' first road game really showed in the second half. LSU smashed Ole Miss, by the way, and Ohio State hung it on Iowa. We'll be right back here on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on a Monday morning, heading back over to the National Football League, where we certainly had a big return for the Dallas Cowboys as their quarterback Dak Prescott was once again under center. The thing is, once again, the story of the Dallas Cowboys game was not the quarterback play at all. It was their defense. Oh, how fun it was. The Detroit Lions, the best offense in the league for a moment in time, have now scored 6 points over their last two games. The Cowboys picked off Goff twice, sacked him 5 times. Dallas's defense leads the way as they move to 5-2.
Yeah, it was a good win by the Dallas Cowboys. It was 24-6. It was a little touch and go. And also, let's remind ourselves, at halftime, the Detroit Lions had the lead, 6-3. Things weren't looking all rosy here for the Dallas Cowboys, and Detroit marched out to midfield, 2nd and 3, and then Jared Goff happened. He drops back the pass, throws a floater up there in the double coverage. Diggs says, thank you very much, I'll intercept that, and the game really changed after that took place. And also, come on, they throw a screen pass out to the tight end who rumbles, and looks like he scores an easy touchdown, only to find out he's a few inches short because his knee hit down. No big deal. You hand the football if you walk into the end zone. And the fumble on the goal line here, which had Dan Campbell throwing his headset on the sideline. A lot of things went right for the Dallas Cowboys, and their defense really did play well. But I can't help be salty here by Dak Prescott throwing only one touchdown pass in this game when they were repeatedly inside the 10-yard line. Cost me a little bit of money, but the win and cover for the Cowboys, and even before the game, I thought that the Detroit Lions were a decent play at the 6.5, 7, depending on where you were getting that number at. Well, They lost that as well at this point. Good win for the Dallas Cowboys, but also, does this sound like, because we'll talk about the Cowboys in a second, but the Detroit Lions, right? I know we like to talk about it, and you do as well. You know, that team that everybody's excited for, Hard Knocks, we're going to bet them. They're going to play you tough. They're going to drag you out into the deep water and drown you. They're 1-5 on the season, 0-3 away from home. Are they really set up like a 2-15 season, 3-14 season? Maybe it's time to move on from Dan Campbell, because we like him as a head coach. The sound bites are there, but the results matter. His results stink.
Yeah, but no, that would be very short-sighted. Don, it's his second year. Like, there's no reason to fire a guy everybody likes 2 years in with low-level quarterback play and really not that great of a roster. I think that would be a bad. Now, I was someone like Lions might get into the playoffs this year. I'm just saying, they might sneak in. I just wouldn't surprise me. 10-7 Lions. Yeah, it surprised me. It stunned me, in fact. Very shocking.
Look at their schedule.
Very surprising. But Don, you don't think that would be short-sighted?
They'll win game again.
They're not coming.
See, I agree with the status where we throw coaches, you know, out way too quickly. But having said that, the owners make so much money, it doesn't matter. It used to be like, oh, man, he can't fire that guy. You're going to own $3 million over the life of his contract. He's going to stay for another 2 years. You know, or the Cincinnati Bengals, who didn't want to fire Marvin Lewis for all those years because it would cost more to buy out the staff and him, so they kept him around. Most owners aren't cheap anymore, and certainly the Ford family probably has more money than they know what to do with. But at the same time, I need to see improvement, though, Kevin, right? Like, they're 1-5. All right, they were battling early on, but the bottom seems to fall out. Now, the Patriots and the Cowboys, good ball clubs, I get it. 6 total points in those 2 games. You came off the bye. You muster 6. Next game's coming up, Kevin. Dolphins, Packers at the Bears. That might be an easy one. Giants, Bills, Jags, Vikings, Jets. Doesn't look like it's going to get any better. But again, it's about improvement. If you said that this season, we're going to win, you know, 7 games. Okay, man, they're marching towards something. Kevin, they can't win 3 games. Like, you can't sell that to your fan base.
Here's the deal, though. The early beginnings when they were a healthy football team with DeAndre Swift and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And by the way, Amon-Ra had one play and then left, unfortunately, with a concussion. So essentially, yeah, they've continued to play without him now for multiple weeks.
True.
There was something to sell the fan base on. Look how exciting this offense is, which I think is probably going to be a little bit more tied to Dan Campbell. I think it would be the Lions' own fault if they fired him because they somehow believed the hype that was never there. They were not a legitimate squad. The Dallas Cowboys, though, are in a really interesting spot. They are currently, you could argue, the second best team in the conference. They have tied for the second best odds in the conference. They have the third best record in their own division. The New York Giants do it again. 23-17, a late fourth quarter comeback. They win the fourth 10-0. Daniel Jones, 202 yards and a touchdown. And Saquon Barkley, who is pretty undervalued in an MVP conversation, if we're being honest. Last check, 150-1. We'll see if they move that number at all. Let me double check. Still 150-1. Probably one of the most ridiculous numbers on the board. Donnie, the Giants are 6-1. The only team with a better record than this New York Giants group are the Philadelphia Eagles, who are in their division.
Impressive. It's impressive. And these teams, you know, good teams are built to make their own breaks. It seems like the Giants get a lot of breaks, but you have to put yourself in position to capitalize on those breaks. Fumbles into the end zone. Terrible interception by Daniel Jones gets ruled against because of a roughing the passer call. And also, sometimes analytics gets in your way. And I guess it would be a 50-50 call. But if I'm going to be in a fourth quarter of a football game, Kevin, I'm up 4 points. I'm at around the 20-yard line. It's 4th-and-1. I understand you have a pretty athletic quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, and you would go for it. But here's the issue overall. Come on. If you're going to go for it here, quarterback sneak up the middle, oh, okay, I can believe in that. But why not just take the 7-point lead? Why not just say you got to drive the length of a field, which is something you struggle to do in this game, and punch it in? And, oh, yeah, if you do, maybe Dable goes for a 2-point conversion. You could stop and get the win, or maybe kicks the extra point, and you still get the football back with a chance to win. It was questionable there, but again, credit the Giants defense for stepping up in that moment again, and also late in the game, playing perfect defense, knowing where you're on the football field. Don't let anybody catch a pass in the end zone. Tackle them when the kid makes a catch, and they did that. Closed them out. The Giants are 6-1, which is incredible here. It's incredible what Brian Dable's doing.
Again, that to me, though, that decision Donnie made by Doug Peterson is a real hindsight criticism. It's fourth and one. He's got one of the biggest quarterbacks in the league, and he sneaks him up the middle. I just pause it right there. Hey, do you think he picked it up? Say again?
I know. I know where you're going here, but I always look at it like this. If you get that first down, does you win the game or guarantee you get a touchdown from that? You don't, though.
No, but you're in a significantly better position. Yeah, but Donnie, again, but also, there's no guarantee the field goal goes in. Why do we always do this? Why are the 3 points always through the uprights?
But I mean, you're supposed to make that. But there's an argument on both
sides. Of course,
you're
supposed
to. I'm not saying it's a terrible, terrible thing. But in that game, I go up 7 at that point. Even, you know, Kevin, if there was 2 minutes and 20 seconds to go on the clock and the Giants had one timeout left and it was 4th and 1, I'd love them to go for it. Because you know what happens, Kevin? You convert that, the game is over right there. And even if you don't, still got to drive 80 yards to score a touchdown in a pressure situation. I get it. I thought it was just a little bit too early to go for it because it didn't mean one way or another if you got it that you won. All it did is means if he's got stopped, that means the Giants get a little bit of momentum behind it as opposed to taking a touchdown lead.
But again, this. All right, so they make the field goal. They finish with 20 points. The Giants finish with 23. Like, we can play the.
No, you
play this game all the time,
though. At that point, but I take the touchdown lead at that point.
I trust that the gigantic Trevor Lawrence can pick up a yard. Also, Travis Etienne, don't fumble on the 1 yard line running in for a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's try and run that play. This is the thing with the Giants, though, Donnie. So this was 2 weeks ago before the Packers game, I think. Now, so maybe 3 weeks ago. We talked about could they make the playoffs. And to me, the record, they would win 9 games, maybe a 10th, and it would depend on what the rest of the NFC did. The Giants are going to win 10 games, maybe 11. Who knows? I mean, the way things are lining up for them. By the way, next game at Seattle, home against the Texans, home against the Lions. There's wins on. They still have both Commanders games left, Nani. Are you believing in the Giants?
There's two different beliefs. Beliefs in getting the playoffs, yes, but beliefs that they're actually a really good football team, no. I can't get around how they're winning football games because outside of Saquon Barkley, there's nothing good about this team, nothing. And yet, Brian Daboll has them at 6-1.
Taking a quick break. We'll be right back here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid. I'm circling back to the New York Giants for just a moment, just because I want to emphasize this point quickly. Daniel Jones is 75-1 to an NFL MVP. Saquon Barkley is 150-1. Everyone says it's a quarterback award. Please tell me that I am not crazy that Saquon Barkley has a significantly better chance to an MVP than Daniel Jones.
He should have a significant advantage over Daniel Jones. Yes, it is kind of funny. Is that just a belief where the Giants, they don't think can do anything here and it's just a complete mirage? Because those two numbers are ridiculous. Usually, if you look at a team with a very good record that the Giants do have, if they continue with a very good record, does that mean you probably have an MVP candidate on your football team? Doesn't sound like the sports books believe in that, though.
I don't know if this is, I guess I could double check with Sharapan maybe. But you could convince me that they are intentionally hanging a bad Saquon number to get someone like me say, $10. And then they just take my $10 when he doesn't win MVP. Because it is a horrific number, all in all, on Saquon Barkley. The Giants sit here at 6-1. Let's keep moving things forward here, though, and take a look at some of the big games that took place in the AFC North. We'll start it off with the head-to-head matchup between the Ravens and the Browns. 23-20, Baltimore goes to 4-3, though a late double-digit lead certainly had its moments of maybe this is going to happen again. Lamar with a whopping 120 passing yards. I have no idea how they won this game. Like, statistically,
no. Nope.
Nothing jumps off of the page for the Baltimore Ravens. But, again, they crossed the finish line here 23-20, no cover.
Yeah, defense outplayed them. That's what the Baltimore Ravens defense did to the Cleveland Browns. But if we're taking a look at the game itself, get the crystal ball, Kevin. We love Monday armchair quarterback. Love this. Hey, by the way, Donnie, you're going to take an upset favorite here. You like the Cleveland Browns. Forget the 6.5. I want the +240 price. Started off early. Nick Chubb runs one in. And I'm going to give you the keys to the card at the end of the game that are going to tell you that Lamar Jackson threw for 120 yards and they ran for 3.6 yards per carry. That's a blowout win for the Browns. Yet the Browns lost that game 23-20. Finally feels good for the Ravens to pick up a victory, but maybe there's something deeper seated here because if we look at the Browns, and I know you love that, right? The 2-5 Browns here, they're waiting for Deshaun Watson to come back. Playoffs, madness all over the place. It's not even the offense that's the issue. The defense stinks. So unless Deshaun Watson is coming back and playing a solid DB out there, I don't think it's going to get corrected anytime sooner. But the Baltimore Ravens do sit at 4-3, had another double-digit lead, and I keep finding myself coming away like, I don't know how they won that game. And that's usually not the sign of a great football team. Now, we talk about the Giants at 6-1, but at least the Giants, like, in it every week. This is their MO right now. Get in a close game in the fourth quarter and win it. The Baltimore MO is let's get a big lead and try to fumble this thing away and see how we can pull this one out. It's just a completely different vibe, but they're talented enough to believe in them. But one team looks like headed in the complete wrong direction, the Browns. Now, even with all that talent on offense, and it's not Jacoby Brissett's fault, that's a tough pill to swallow. But I still look at that Baltimore team and say to myself, can you get an addition? Is something going to change? Gus Edwards came back 2 touchdowns. That's great. But I need more explosive plays on offense. I'm just not getting them there.
Yeah, you know, Mark Andrews was banged up coming into this game. He finishes targeted twice, no catches. It was Rashad Bateman's first game back. I almost wonder if, you know, kind of to some degree, they felt like they could keep this team at bay once they were able to gain a lead in this game because they did trail 10-3, but they took a 13-10 lead into the half, and they were able to see this thing out then the rest of the way. On the other side of this coin, though, Cincinnati is starting to look like one of the most dangerous teams in the league. 30-plus points in consecutive games. Joe Burrow throws for 481 yards. He was well over 300 passing in the first half. Chipped in 3 passing touchdowns, as well as his 3rd consecutive game with a rushing touchdown here. They beat the Falcons, who lose their first game against the spread. Is Cincinnati starting to kind of turn the corner here in a way that you're questioning how you power rank the AFC North?
Yeah, because it seems like the upside, right, on the Bengals is a lot more upside. Like, let's take away the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Just take them out of the equation. Buffalo Bills as well. There still has to be, you know, 6 teams, 7 teams that are going to make the playoffs. This seems like one of those teams that if you put them in a scenario with Kansas City and with Buffalo, they might be able to go toe-to-toe with the offenses there. Because this reminds me of a team, you know, you go back ways, and maybe even before you're born, those 90s Dallas Cowboys team, right? Troy Aikman at quarterback, Emmitt Smith at running back, a couple of really good wide receivers, including Michael Irvin. This has it when the Cincinnati Bengals are on offense, and they're right. They cook, and they cooked yesterday. Like, every update that came across the screen was Joe Burrow just launching it and taking shots deep and wide receivers making plays. 481 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Mixon, 17 carries for 58 yards and a touchdown. Even Burrow chipped in with a rushing touchdown there, getting on the board. But I just feel like this is one of those teams where you saw them make the Super Bowl and the potential that they could possibly have. It just wasn't clicking early on. And maybe now Joe Burrow and that offense finally getting into rhythm, you know, fixing the season in New Orleans with a big play out of Jamar Chase from Joe Burrow. And then you see that game yesterday because you could take away from, well, see Atlanta Falcons. No, the Atlanta Falcons are 3-3 playing good football and covering spreads every week. And they detonated this football game, including how about shutting out the Atlanta Falcons in the second half on defense? If that defense can match the offense here, Cincinnati Bengals are going to be a tough out late in the year. They are.
So I think you might want to get in on a Cincinnati 11-1 to win the AFC right now. I think they've got a legitimate chance to win this division. For me, it was Baltimore all the way coming in. Here's the thing, and I think you kind of alluded to it. It's about the ceiling. The Ravens, I know it's, the Ravens could be 7-0. I know they could be, but they're not. And somewhere in the postseason, they'll be there. Something is going to go wrong. It just will. I don't see the Ravens actually crossing the finish line in the postseason. We've seen Cincinnati do it. They have the firepower to be able to match up here. And even if Cincinnati had to go on the road, I do feel like this group can travel and be battle-tested. Obviously, last year winning at Tennessee and at Kansas City. So I've seen that before. And there's a gap in price. Baltimore's plus 850, Cincinnati's 11-1. That gap right now is born of Baltimore being a favorite in the division. Just take the next two games in, as they're both going to be on a bye in week number 10. The Ravens are at Tampa and at New Orleans. Now, they will be favored in both of those games. They actually are favored at Tampa Bay. But those are going to be lighter numbers. The Cincinnati Bengals are at Cleveland on a Monday nighter and home against the Carolina Panthers. They're going to be favored in both of those games by over a field goal, at least three in that game against the Cleveland Browns. So if Cincinnati rips off another two consecutive wins and we just get a Baltimore split, the odds in the division change. And don't forget, Week 18 is in Cincinnati. Donnie, I was a preseason Baltimore guy, and I think the Ravens could still win the division, but in the conference market, I think Cincinnati is your play at 11-1.
I think it makes a lot of sense, too, because, again, just getting back to the team itself, we're watching the Baltimore Ravens, and I know they put up some decent offensive statistics over the first couple games, but it just feels like the norm for the Ravens is, all right, we'll run it out to a lead. Maybe we can't close the door as effectively we could, but late in the season, like, don't you want that team that can really strike? Don't you want that 75-yard touchdown pass, that Ja'Marr Chase one-on-one catch, as opposed to leaning on Lamar Jackson, carrying the entire offense on his back like he has to do? Joe Burrow gets a lot of help out there. You throw a 7-yard screen pass, it could go a long way with T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and Tyler Boyd, as we've seen that done in the past. Turn around and hand it off to Mixon, a Pro Bowl caliber running back. It just seems like there's more help in Cincinnati than opposed to just, hey, Lamar Jackson, go out there and win us a football game, which is what it's going to take for the Ravens.
To keep it within the AFC, here is the list of teams that have a better record than the New York Jets. The Buffalo Bills, that's the list. That's the list of teams with a better record than the New York Jets in the AFC.
Crazy.
They have the ninth best odds in the conference at 34-1. The make-miss playoff odds right now for the New York Jets, the make still plus 144 as they sit here at 5-2. They beat the Denver Broncos 16-9. Starting to believe in Robert Saleh and the New York Jets?
No. And Breece Hall, you know, going out with an injury for an ACL, which looks like it's going to be. We'll probably get the update today. That's really going to hurt them. Do you know why I'm not as high on the Jets? I would actually rather the Jets, Kevin, be winning 35-34 than games like they did yesterday. Because I just look at that upper echelon. Like, you drafted Zach Wilson, number two overall, and I know he's still a young quarterback, banged up to start the season. I get it. He's going to get a little bit of leeway. One touchdown pass on the season so far through four games, 121 yards on the road against Denver, 110 versus Green Bay. And I know they didn't need to do that much. I get that here. But I just look at it where it's almost like, what do you expect out of the season? You hear me say so many times, Kevin, it's not necessarily about what the Jets record is, because I think we can both believe they're not winning a Super Bowl this year. But what's Zach Wilson going to give me? Is Zach Wilson going to have those like Joe Burrow type numbers where he's going to throw for 485 and 400 yards and 375? I need to see that than what I'm seeing out of Zach Wilson. But don't get me wrong. Robert Saleh is a defensive guy brought in to correct that defense. They look the part this year. Good secondary, good pass rush. Everything's leveled out. Catching a little bit of break, but playing two teams back-to-back that stink on offense in the Green Bay Packers and the Denver Broncos, but they were both on the road. So I don't want to take too much away. I just would feel more comfortable if that was a higher-scoring game where Zach Wilson's like, you know what, I got this thing. Because he started out 252 against Pittsburgh, which was great, drops to 210 against Miami, 110 against Green Bay, and 121 against Denver. I don't want to knock the Jets, even though it sounds like I am. I just want to see that quarterback lead them.
Well, of course, is kind of what I would say to that, right? He's thrown for 121 yards in yesterday's game and 110 in Green Bay, right? Like, there's a world where Jets fans, Donnie, would probably take a worse record, but Zach Wilson look better.
Yes.
But, correct. Hey, at least they're 5-2. Quickly, as the Denver Broncos season comes to an end, my heart breaks for this defense. The third best scoring defense in the entire league. Like, it's the Bills, the Cowboys, and the Broncos. They have the worst scoring offense in football. And I know Russ didn't play. Do you think it would have been much better? I don't. We'll be right back on the other line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Part a couple of other games to get to before we hit Monday Night Football. Tua was back last night in a 16-10 victory for the Miami Dolphins over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kenny Pickett finished that game with three interceptions, 257 yards. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill combining for 160 receiving yards in the game. The Dolphins 4-0 in the games that Tua starts and finishes.
16-10 final, and it looked like there's going to be a little bit of a higher scoring affair because it was 16-10, Kevin, at the break, but not a single point was scored in the second half due to a light rain in South Florida. But I think the bigger story was getting Tua back out there, getting him healthy, but also Mike Tomlin pointed out. Now, I know you can't go back and change some things, but quite honestly, Tua threw the football to the Steelers a lot more than they were able to catch, because if you look at that tagline, 261, one touchdown, no interception. All right, good. There were a lot of interceptions to be had at that the Steelers just couldn't catch. And Kenny Pickett, three interceptions. The Miami Dolphins did catch. But it's a sign of a good football team. You're going to get those breaks. You have to take advantage of those. The Miami Dolphins did that. But I know for Dolphins backer, there's a play in the second half. Maybe you want to kick the field goal as opposed to handing the football off up the middle on a 4th-and-3. But little be known, the Miami Dolphins hold on this one. Good win for the Dolphins to resurrect their season. Pittsburgh Steelers now at 2-5, wasting away. And you know who's on deck? An unbeaten football team in the battle of the Keystone State. That's the Philadelphia Eagles. But we'll certainly get to that later in the week. Good win by the Dolphins, because sometimes it just comes down to getting the win, Kevin.
Yeah, here's the thing as well. The schedule sets up, Donnie, for a lot more winning. How about this next set of games here? At Detroit, at Chicago, home against Cleveland, bye week, home against the Houston Texans. That's four straight games favored by a field goal or better. They are favored by 3.5 against Detroit. So I'm not saying they're going to go 4-1. Odds are they probably do go 3-1, which would make them a 7-4 football team, but more importantly, what that would mean for their record with Tua. It makes the Dolphins an interesting team to evaluate right now. The record is going to be there. The Dolphins are going to the playoffs. That's how I see it right now. It's trying to figure out how dangerous are they. The wins were weird, but they do have wins over Baltimore and Buffalo. We can't hand wave those. It's going to be an interesting one to follow. Last one here, the AFC South's lead was on the line, and it was the Tennessee Titans that took advantage off of a bye week, 19-10. They finish off Matt Ryan, who throws a pick six. He is awful, and one of the primary reasons that the Indianapolis Colts are a major underachiever. They are lucky to have one win. They have three. They have been an unimpressive team to me the entire way this season, the Indianapolis Colts, and had their card pulled by really what is still an unimpressive Tennessee football team.
Yeah, this is a bad division. I mean, overall, I mean, nobody wants to win this. Nobody's been impressive. And yesterday, Michael Cosmic, again, 254 yards total for the Titans, was enough to get this job done and beat the Colts. Because, yes, Matt Ryan did throw a terrible pick six interception. Ryan Tannehill goes down injured. Now, you're always going to have King Henry in the backfield that's going to have a good performance. But, my goodness, I mean, what gives you pause? And it's the reason to say we see, like, 3-3-1 for the Colts. Still right in it. Can still win this division. The Tennessee Titans 4-2. They just leak oil every single week. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they can just get out of their own way, would probably be the best. If we're looking like team by team by team right now, it sounds stupid to say this, but Jacksonville is so much, so head and shoulders above this entire division in terms of talent, if they can just find a way to win. But young teams that haven't won before do need that. It's so funny that we put it in that topic. Was if I line each one of these teams up week to week to week, I go, give me the Jaguars. Jaguars playing the Titans. Give me the Jaguars. Jaguars playing the Colts. Give me the Jaguars. It just feels like that. But again, they can't seize anything either.
The Jags are 0-5 in one score games. They are the most talented team in this division. I feel no embarrassment over picking them to win it. The division is as bad as I thought it was going to be. But Tennessee, Titans finding a way. Shout out Mike Vrabel. Four wins in a row, three consecutive games where Derrick Henry goes for 100-plus rushing yards, and they're just finding a way. I will say when Malik Willis stepped in, but it was because of an injury for Ryan Tannehill, I was like, just let Malik stay out there. Just see kind of what happens and if things can get a bit explosive. That would have been nice to see. All right, we got Monday Night Football. I believe we were able to hit every single game for you there. A fun week of action. We close it out, though, with New England and Chicago. 8.5-point favorites are the New England Patriots in Foxborough. Total here is 47. Is 40.5. The Mac Jones return game. I'll just say it. I don't think it's a. I'm very open to the idea that Bailey Zappe is better than Mac Jones. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here if the New England Patriots offense sputters in any way against Chicago.
I think you're right on that, too, because you take a look overall and you say, well, what am I going to get out of Mac Jones tonight? You know, misses a couple weeks here, has the high ankle sprain. You say to yourself, okay, this is the perfect landing spot to put him back in because you know why, Kevin? He doesn't have to do that much. You don't even have to do that much. Hand the football off, make a couple short slants. You should easily be able to put away the Chicago Bears. Now, conspiracy theorists like myself go, there's a reason why you don't want Bailey Zappe in this game. Let's say Zappe goes, you know, 24-35, 291, two touchdowns, no interceptions. You walk away with an easy win. It's really hard to come back and say, okay, that's fine. Now the show's up here, Zappe. Thanks for all you've done for us. Let's go back to Mac Jones, who hasn't lit the world on fire by any stretch. But sort of me is watching this game tonight going, oh, Mac Jones struggles a little bit in this game. Maybe this game's tied up at the half, or the Bears somehow have a lead in the second half because of the quarterback not being able to do everything he needs to do with that high ankle sprain. That's one added in. But again, you're looking at the Chicago Bears. You can't do anything right, regardless of quarterback. They're over a touchdown dog here on the road, and rightfully so. Are you going into this game pulling up a chair saying, you know what, I can't wait to see what Justin Fields does against a New England Patriots defense led by Bill Belichick? They're going to make it so hard on him that maybe the only thing he can do is run the football tonight. But more advantages here for the New England Patriots. Hand the football off. Just play good defense. You should walk away with a double-digit win tonight, as long as Mac Jones is just able to complete a simple pass.
Again, like if you told me that, Donnie, that they went back to the wind offense that they used against the Buffalo Bills, I would probably still tell you that they won this game here against the Chicago Bears. The Bears are coming off of Thursday night football, so a bit of extra rest built into their schedule here. Catching 8.5 on the road. It is always a must. I know there's a lot of angles that we can take in this game, but come on now, folks. Justin Fields has a passing yardage prop of 160.5. 160.5. Justin Fields over his last couple of games, Donnie, over the number, 174 against the Giants, 208 against the Vikings, and 190 against Washington. I mean, is it time to get involved here on the Justin Fields show?
It almost seems like you have to do it, though, don't you? Like, it's so low, and I always say, like, it just takes, like, one pass, like, one little screen pass for 32 yards in the first quarter, and off you go running away with this easily. Like, you have to think about, for an NFL quarterback to throw for, like, under 150 yards, what has to take place? Like, everything goes against you. 59-yard catch, but it was brought back by an illegal man downfield. Wide-open touchdown, like you saw, to Mike Evans, who just drops the football, and you don't get 75 yards tacked onto that bottom line. But anytime you have a quarterback that's extremely low, even look, PJ Walker hit his yesterday. See what I mean? Like, it can happen where you don't need all that much to go in your direction. You can cash in a ticket. When they're that low, I'm never going to say you should just go under. It sounds ridiculous, but it almost seems like a principal bet when they're that low just to continue to take them out. Anything under 200 yards should be legitimately in the box all four quarters for the guy you're trying to play with.
I still just don't really understand what their MO is in Chicago. Like, shouldn't it Pickett's first started the game that he starts against Buffalo, they had him throw the ball 50 times, right? 300 plus yards, and it's like, oh, that's good. Yep. Just let him throw it a bunch and we'll see what happens. The Bears are like, whoa. All right, don't even let him play. Should we bench him? Like, what do we? It's a very bizarre thing. I'll say this quickly, quick little trend for you, Donnie. Teams booked as an underdog after playing on Thursday night football. Perfect 4-0 against the spread. Ooh. Obviously, the Chicago Bears coming off of Thursday night, catching a full 8.5 points. I do have a feeling the Bears can hang around here in this football game. This feels like maybe a mistake or two made by the New England Patriots. A run here busted, and the Chicago Bears are able to find the end zone, and they hang around with this 8.5 points. I don't want to try and sell you on the back door being open because it probably doesn't matter. Is Justin Fields going to lead a touchdown drive? I mean, it'll be open, but it probably doesn't matter. I'm leaning towards the Bears, though, catching the points here. Are you involved in the props market? What's been jumping off of the page early?
Yeah, props market should be interesting, but just to double down on that settlement where you're saying, okay, I don't know if I can rely on, let's just say, the Chicago Bears coming through the back door, then probably the smarter play would be, okay, Bears, if you're going to be in this game with a chance to win it, you're probably going to be up at the half or at least really close where you're in one possession in the second half, so maybe that's the best way to take that. But if I'm looking from the props market, it seems pretty simple to me, as I said. sometimes you can't trust Justin Fields all that much. Or quite frankly, not even Justin Fields, the Chicago Bears offense. They have nothing at wide receiver. Like Darnell Mooney's your number one. I mean, give it a break here. Cole Kmet at tight end. I mean, you can't find that guy on a milk carton half of the game. So maybe you just look and say, well, what does the kid do really well? I don't know. He runs the football, and maybe that's going to make some sense. Because if you anticipate them being down in the second half like we do, maybe those legs are going to start to churn and get some of those first downs picked up. Now, it is an expensive number here. 42.5 for Justin Fields rushing prop. I like that. But also, Ramondre Stevenson, if we figure that New England is going to be leading in this game, and New England has a quarterback that has a high ankle sprain that is coming back in his first game, maybe you hand the football off more. 63.5 is a rushing prop here for Ramondre Stevenson. Makes a lot of sense for me as well. And also, these are the ones that you like too. It's a little bit expensive. I get it. But look at the number. Justin Fields to throw one touchdown pass tonight, minus 162. One? If you're going to be losing, aren't you throwing in the second half? We're not asking to throw two or three or one and a half here to try to match up.
But now, hold
throw
on.
One touchdown pass.
Yeah, but here's the deal, Donnie. So if I told you that he throws one touchdown pass,
yeah,
one and one should come in, shouldn't it? Plus 350? One rushing touchdown, one passing touchdown for these teams here.
I mean, I don't know if I take a 1-1 on Justin Fields for the season, like one touchdown tonight, one the rest of the year, and cash that ticket in. I mean, come on.
It is incredible to see this plus 350. So I don't know how much you've been able to dive into the match specials market, game specials tonight, but I know you are going to end up involved. There is a principal play at the very, very top of this board because there is. So the quarterback props, the rushing, passing, touchdown, but Donnie loves field goals in this market, at least. Yeah. And usually you will get each team to score one touchdown and one field goal at like minus 200. Very rarely is it ever bettable. There are games they don't even hang it. Tonight, minus 130. You're going to be involved in that, aren't you?
I don't know. I'm going to level up again. What's my other favorite field goal prop? Do you know what it is? Like one field goal in each quarter is 6-1 in this game. That makes way more sense. Like when you're talking about New England Patriots, what's their MO tonight? Just get points. Just what's the Bears ceiling on points? Like 17, 14, whatever it is. So every drive that you have for the Patriots, Bill Belichick, throw analytics out the window. 4th-and-1 on the 19. Take the field goal. You'd be like, man, I don't even know if the Bears even get a field goal tonight. I think the New England Patriots, what's the line for this one? The Patriots to kick a field goal every single quarter. I like that one.
That sounds terrible. Although you can go out there and find some kicker props.
It's got to be something.
And maybe line about
that
way.
Who's that tonight, FanDuel? Come on.
Look, I just want to throw it out there for the people because I'm sure you're all interested. Justin Fields, Mac Jones to combine for 500 passing yards and four passing touchdowns is a light
season?
Is a light 12-1. Honestly, Donnie, if I told you that's what they were giving you over a 2-week window, I think you still might have to decline.
I don't know if I could take it. Yeah, too much.
All right, folks, that'll do it. Almost before you go anywhere, you listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the day right here for the early line. Armchair Quarterback Monday with a lot to get to in the NFL. But as always, Kevin and Donnie here in the morning, 7 to 9 a.m., setting up your Sports Grid day before we hand it over to Ben Stevens in the morning after, which I will be a part of over the first hour. Can't miss television and radio. Make sure you stay tuned. But yesterday, something glorious happened in the city of brotherly love. Even though the Philadelphia Eagles are 6-0 but had the day off and the Sixers are struggling, you turn your eyes to South Philadelphia, and you get what you want. Bryce Harper, my goodness, listen up. The ability to lift a city with just one swing. That's what Bryce Harper did yesterday. It wasn't if we were waiting and waiting and waiting for Bryce Harper to have a moment. He's been doing it all along in Philadelphia. An MVP worth every penny of that $330 million contract. But yesterday, and just take out the whole NLCS where he hit 400 against the San Diego Padres and that pitching staff from starters all the way down to relievers. He gets into the box. The Phillies are down one run late. You needed a hero to rescue him. 2-2 yesterday in the box for Bryce Harper. My goodness. And everybody watching TV, myself, my wife, my family, my daughter, all huddled around the TV knowing that even with two strikes, he was going to do something special. And that pitch came through, and it left into the left field seats, and everybody went wild from South Jersey to South Philadelphia to all and beyond in Citizens Bank Ballpark as he was rounding the bases slowly as possible, taking it all in, and stared at the camera and says, I'm that guy. And he is that guy. In the biggest moments, sometimes baseball players, football players, hockey players, they want the puck, baseball, whatever instrument they use to try to lift their team to victory. Yesterday, Bryce Harper did that for the city of Philadelphia. On to the World Series, the Phillies go. They've been dogs the entire way. The last team to make it into the playoffs. And here they are trying to take down the mighty Astros one more time. Bryce Harper lifting the city with one final swing. Now stay tuned here to the Morning After Ben Stevens coming up next right here on the Sports Grid Network. I will be a part of the show. Make sure you stay tuned. Let's go.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.